There are a few things in life, folks, that are more important than timing. I began to think about how true that is, literally, in every area and facet of our lives. The first area you can consider is the area of sports. In sports, timing sometimes is everything. If you were to ask a coach the secret of a good football team, they would tell you it's timing. Now, some fans might say it's strength. Some fans might say it's speed. Some fans might say it's a good game plan. It's intelligence on the sideline and on the field. But I think coaches, if they were pressed, they would tell you timing. You have to get off the ball at the same time, at the right time, with explosive time, right? You have to run your route at the right time. One of the things that have always impressed me is what happens on a football field, that the ball will be snapped, the fastest receiver on the team will sprint down the field, the quarterback will drop back 10 to 12 yards, rear back, throw the ball as far and as hard as they can, and somehow the ball and the receiver arrive at the same place at the right time. You see, Coach Allen would tell us that in sports, timing is everything. But now apply it to something else. How about in business? I think in business, timing is also extremely important. You ask people who know business, and many of them will tell you that the secret to their success has been timing. There are many people who are successful in business. They're not that way because they were smarter than everyone else. They're not that way because they worked harder than everyone else. They would tell you that they were at the right place at the right time. You see, it's not enough just to buy and sell land. You have to buy and sell land at the right time. It's not enough just to buy and sell stocks. You got to buy them and sell them at the right time. In business, timing also is important. What about politics? I think the same thing is true. There's been many a good candidate who lost an election because the timing wasn't right. And I've heard pundits say, well, they were just ahead of their time. You see, timing is important in politics too. But now take God's Word. What does God's Word have to say about timing? Well, I think you know the answer. In the Bible too, timing is so very important. I want you to take your Bibles with me this morning as we open God's Word and go to really the most important passage in all of Scripture that talks about time. It says there is a time for everything. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 1 through 9. Let's stand together as we honor the reading of God's Word today. I encourage you to take your own copy of God's Word and let's read it together today from the New International Version. In Ecclesiastes it says, there's a time for everything, and a season for every activity under heaven. There is a time to be born, there is a time to die. A time to plant and a time to uproot. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to tear down and a time to build. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to scatter stones and a time to gather them. A time to embrace and a time to refrain. A time to search and a time to give up. A time to keep and a time to throw away. A time to tear and a time to mend. A time to be silent and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time for war and a time for peace. This passage tells us that according to God, timing is also so very important. God bless you. You may have a seat. What an amazing passage of Scripture. It's gotten so much attention, not only in the church, but outside the church across the years. Songs have been written about this passage. And it tells us that behind this universe in which we live, there is a God who is in control of time. And that says to me that life isn't haphazard, praise be to God. It tells me that life is not a tale told by an idiot that signifies nothing, praise be to God. It tells me that life is not wild, uncontrolled chaos, And I say to that, in this period of history, praise be to God. It says to me that behind time is the God of time. And He's carefully marked out our lives so that there is a season and there is a time for everything. Now, everyone doesn't see things that way. Some people have read this passage and it's led them to be pessimistic, to be desperate, to be fatalistic in their mindset. And they conclude that we're victims cast into a world where everything is preordained and therefore we have no control over one single thing. And many subscribe to this idea. How many of you have said about yourself after an accident that could have been tragic, well, I guess it wasn't my time? You see, behind that statement is the idea that there is a set, fixed, and predetermined time when you're going to die, and really no one can do anything about it. I've heard people saying that even during this pandemic. Well, I'm not going to wear this mask. If it's my time, it's my time. But I think that's taking the truth to an extreme. And I'm not really sure that that's what God intended. You see, in this passage, He's simply saying that He is a God of design. And if we're wise, we'll simply seek to know what time it is according to His plan. He was simply saying that there is a time and a place for everything. God is a God of design and order, but that doesn't mean that we can't break it, right? The Bible says, we just read it, there's a time to be born and a time to die. But you can hasten your time to die, can't you? Start smoking cigarettes, that'll help it right along, right? Start drinking a ton of alcohol and driving fast and reckless, that'll help, right? You probably have heard something like this sometime back. I heard about this guy who was afraid to go up in this private plane. The owner of the plane was trying to get him to go with him. He said, no thanks, I'm literally afraid of going flying. What are you afraid of? He said. You aren't going to die before it's your time, the pilot said. He said, yeah, that's right, but we maybe get up there and it's your time, right? You see, there's all kinds of thoughts and ideas that come out of this passage. I think it's a great passage. It's worthy of us studying today and for that matter, any day. It says there's a time to plant, a time to reap, a time to weep, a time to laugh. But far from causing me to be pessimistic and fatalistic and desperate, this passage encourages me. And I want to teach it and preach it from that perspective today because I want you to join me in this. There are three ways that this passage affects me because I know that God has a time for everything. Here's the first way. It gives me a sense of excitement. And I hope it does for you too. You see, it excites me that I can be in step with God. It excites me that there's something in the universe that's beyond me and my plans and my dreams and my schemes. It excites me that this little old church in Corsicana, Texas can be in God's timing and in God's plan and in God's dreams. Somebody say amen. We can do that with God. You see, I don't want to run ahead of God. I don't want to lag behind God. I want to walk right beside God, in step with God, because that way I can see the most accomplished. And the prayer of my heart, I think the prayer of any believer's heart ought to be this. Oh God, what time is it according to you? And what do you want me to do at this time, at this moment, and in this place? I love the story that I heard about a pastor. It's a good story to teach us about timing. It's really a funny story. This pastor said that he took his very first deep sea fishing trip. He said, as a matter of fact, it was two trips in one. It was his first and his last. He was on a mission trip near Trinidad out in the Caribbean, and this man in his group, who considered himself to be a fisherman, said, why don't I put together a deep sea fishing trip for us? And he said, I'll call and make the arrangements, and that's when the pastor knew it was his second mistake. First, he shouldn't have gone. Second, he shouldn't have allowed this guy to make the arrangements, because here's what he imagined. And if any of you can see this in your mind, I certainly have. Have you gone deep sea fishing? This pastor envisioned a 30-foot cruiser. A 30-foot cruiser, all kinds of fishing gear on it. He said, but that day when they finally arrived there at the shore, this local man pulls up in nothing more than an oversized rowboat. He said they got in against better judgment and they made their way out into the Caribbean, right? The man on the boat didn't have any rods, no reels, so they wrapped a fishing line around their hands and they dropped it over the side of the boat. He said it was the first time in his life he prayed to God that nothing would bite, right? And then to make matters worse, you know what happened next? That little bitty boat started rocking there in the waves of the ocean. And the pastor got sick. He said it wasn't one time, not two times. He said he ate a whole box of saltine crackers trying to stay alive. And finally, he said he resorted to this, that he didn't plan on going fishing. Therefore, he only had on these two-tone pair of dress shoes. And he looked at the captain and he said, "If you'll take me in, I'll give you these shoes." Well, the captain said, "Sir, I would really love your shoes. But there's a problem. We can't go in now because the tide is out." You see, the pastor hadn't realized when they left shore, the tide was in and the water was deep, right? But now the tide was out and they couldn't get back in. They would end up in the mud. And the pastor said, "Hey, you take me close and I'll walk the rest of the way." And so he finally convinced the captain to do that. And he jumped out when he was close enough. He gave the man his shoes. He said he's never been so excited to have mud between his toes in his whole life. And he discovered that day what the importance of timing. And here's the point. Folks, in God's plan, guess what? There is a tide also. There is an ebb and a flow and a rhythm to what God does, and we can and we need to and we must get in step with God. It's exciting, isn't it, to know that we can move in the vast purpose of God. You see, I can stand here today and know that I can have my life and my church ebb and flow with the movement of God's time. It gives me a sense of excitement. Doesn't it you? Let me offer you a second feeling I have. It also gives me a sense of urgency. In other words, I feel challenged. It challenges me. Because here's the deal. If God has a time, then I want to be ready when that time comes, right? If there's a moment that I need to set sail, I want to be ready to sail. I don't want to get caught off guard and have to be stranded out in the mud. Jim Redding was a Baptist pastor who founded the Helping Hands Halfway House. It was a place of ministry for ex-convicts. He wanted to help these men who had been in trouble, and as a result of working with all of those ex-cons, he came to the conclusion that there was a time for every criminal in their life that he came to call the redemption point. It happened in every person, he said. And it happened when that man realized the futility of time and he wanted and he hungered to change. And Jim Redding said, if the redemption point, right, in that redemption point, if he didn't throw that man a life preserver, then he would surely slip back into the sea and be drowned forever in his old ways and patterns. You see, as a follower of Christ, as a pastor, as a minister, I want to be ready when the redemption point comes for people. If I'm in charge of a lifesaver, if I'm in charge of a life preserver, I want to be poised with it, ready to throw in my hand. Are you with me? That's who we want to be as a church. To know there is a season for everything, to know there is a time for every purpose tells me that we must be ready now. We need to be prepared now. We need to be urgent about God's work right now. Go back with me to 1950. Some of you will remember this as if it were yesterday. For my generation, we just have to watch documentaries to teach us. And I watch a lot of these. In 1950, the President of the U.S. called on General Douglas MacArthur to assume command of the troops in Korea. MacArthur was already 70 years old. And he was called on because the North Koreans had crossed the 38th parallel. They were invading South Korea, and they needed assistance in stopping the aggression. And Douglas MacArthur was the man for the job. And one of his plans was to land and invade behind the enemy line at a place called Incheon. It was a dangerous mission because the tide at Incheon varied up to 30 feet, drastic tides. And there were only 2 hours when it would go out and be back again. So General MacArthur had to get all of those men and all of those armaments moved in a 2-hour period of time. The secret to his success was he had to move with the tide. And if he did, perfect timing. You remember what Shakespeare wrote through his character Julius Caesar? Caesar said there is a tide in the affairs of men, which taken at the flood leads on to fortune, omitted, and all the voyage of their life is bound in shallows and misery. Folks, think about it. There is a flood in the affairs of our church. And we must be ready to move with God's time, or we will miss it. This passage, it gives me a sense of excitement. It should give all of us a sense of urgency. Do you feel that? Third, it gives me a sense of confidence. It should you too. You see, it tells me if God has a time and I'm fitting in with it, that I can't fail. Because I'm linking myself to something more than my own ability and my own resources. I'm linking myself to the eternal plan of God. And if I can just find out what He wants me to do here and now at this time, then I don't have to worry about the outcome. Because God is at work, and this is His plan, and it's His design. You see, our church can be confident. We must be excited, we should be urgent, and we should be confident. Because if we go with God, we cannot lose. Now, I'd make a huge mistake if I stopped there. If I just talked to you about excitement and urgency and confidence, I think I would fall well short of what God wants me to say. Listen to the passage again. There's a time to be born and a time to die. A time to sow and a time to reap. A time to build and a time to tear down. But you know what? The Bible says clearly everywhere else there is a time to be saved. This is true for everyone who hears this message today, both in person and online. There's a time to be saved. And the Bible keeps hammering at this point. What's it say? Behold, today is the day of salvation. It says, today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts. Choose today whom you will serve. Friend, there is a time to give your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you haven't done it yet, that time is right now. When the Spirit of God speaks to your heart, and He calls on you to follow Him, to serve Him, to do anything for Him, you'd better be ready to say yes, or you may miss God's appointed time. Will you say yes to God today? And if you miss everything else that was said, here it is in summary. To everything there's a season. There is an appointed time when it's best to do that thing. And if we don't do it, in all probability, it will never be done. So make your choice for God today. Make your choice to be engaged in God's work and His time and His church today. Link your life and your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ in every way today. Let's bow our heads and let's pray.